word reign in us today. Thank you that you will give us revelation knowledge concerning what we have just sung and how we have just worshiped. And we thank you, Lord, that with that revelation knowledge, you will grant to us wisdom to flow in your spirit and to stand on your word. I thank you right now that as we stand on the word in faith, we're going to see miraculous things happen. And we give you all the glory and all the praise. And we expect to see miracles in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 11. Mark, chapter 11. You know, last week, I heard Regina sing that song, and I was very moved by the song. And all week long, that song was playing over and over in my spirit. It just kept on going, just kept playing over and over again. We're standing here all because he made a way. Amen? The key word there is we are standing here. We are standing here all because he has made a way. In other words, God has made a way for you to be exactly where you are. And you are exactly where you're supposed to be because God made a way for you to be right there. And when you understand that you are where you are for a reason and for a purpose, and that God, you're not just blowing in the wind in the breeze like a leaf. You're where you are on purpose. You are standing here all because he has made a way. There are things that you have seen in your life. There are things that you've experienced in your life. And it has not been by accident because God has already seen the beginning and the end. That when you are curious and questioning and wondering why and how, God has already seen your end. And his way is made to get you where you're supposed to be. I was driving one time. And I used to tell my family I've never been lost. I never felt like I was lost. I may have been concerned that I'm off course, but not lost. There's a difference between being off course and being lost, right? I know where I am, I just know I ain't where I'm supposed to be. My wife is laughing. So I'm driving along one day. And as I'm driving, I'm off course. And as I'm off course, I know in my mind, I just need to get a couple of blocks over and then I'll be right back where I'm supposed to be. Except the road is not going where I want the road to go. And every time I try to manipulate my way back to where I'm supposed to be, I keep realizing I'm going further and further off course. And the more I fight with it, the more I try to make it happen, it's not happening. And the reason being is because where I grew up, the streets go straight. And the streets are numbered. So that 107th comes after 106th. And that you can keep going all the way downtown. And then the numbers start going the opposite direction. Logic. Simple. But there's a way that seems right to a man. But the end of it leads to destruction. Because your logic is not God's logic. And sometimes you're trying to make things happen in your mind. You're trying to move it and trying to manipulate things to be the way you want them to be. And you're off course because you're trying to make it work. Rather than actually consulting the directions. So I wouldn't look at a map. I wouldn't pull out my GPS because I know that I can make it work. I don't need a computer to tell me where to go because I can make this work. And my pride had me riding off the wrong direction. But God, who is rich in mercy toward us. So you're standing where you're supposed to be because God has made a way. In this ride, as I'm going off course, further and further off course, I have an experience and I see something that I needed to know. And I realize I'm off my course. I'm not off God's course. God knows your pride. And God sends you places knowing how proud you are and that you will say no to him and you will end up where you're supposed to be. God knows you that deeply. God knows you that well. God knows you that well. He knows you're going in and you're coming out. Toya said it. He knows what you can handle and he knows what you can't. And there's certain things that you endure and you say, I can't make it, I can't take it, I'm off course. Can't somebody get me back where I want to be? And God said, no, you're on that course for a reason, for a purpose, not by accident. There are people who you meet in your life and you don't realize why you met them and you think all the time that you know why you met them and then sometime along the road you realize, that's not what I thought. Why? Because God's making the way, not you. Amen? Now, in the middle of all this God making a way business, Jesus comes along and says to his disciples, behold, I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you an ability. I'm going to give you something that will help you fulfill what I have for you to fulfill. I'm going to give you a power and an authority, and I'm going to grant you what is required to be able to do things that you currently don't even understand. So in Mark chapter 11, the disciples are following Jesus. And Jesus has what they call the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. So this is Jesus walking into Jerusalem near a feast. The feast of Passover is coming. And the people are excited, and they have been hearing about Jesus and all the stuff he's been doing, and everybody's expectation is really high that finally we have a king who's going to throw this Roman rule, and we're going to be restored as a nation of Israel, because that's their road that they want. And they've made a decision that we've seen the miracles. We've seen the Roman soldiers back down to this man. We saw them come to arrest him. And we saw centurions who are in charge of hundreds of men listen to his words and go back and tell them, we did not arrest him as you told us because we never heard a man talk like this. They watched all this. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him do all kinds of works and miracles. They saw it with their own eyes. And the people of Jerusalem are so excited that when they hear Jesus is coming, they come out to the road and begin laying palm leaves down and start saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they have a party, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they're praising and they're worshiping as Jesus is coming into town. And so Jesus walks in, he goes into the temple, and you know the Pharisees and Sadducees heard all this happening. All the people who wanted to make him king all had their expectation up here. Jesus walks into the temple, he sees the money changers, and he turns over all their money. So in the temples at that time, they would have layers of going into the temple. And so they would have the outer court, and then they have a court, and then they would have holy place and most holy place. So in the outer court, people would trade, and they would give people sacrifices, because in the Jewish religion, if you committed a sin, you had to bring something as an offering for sacrifice. So you talked about your mama and got in trouble. You knew you were sinful. So what'd you have to do? You had to go get a turtle dove, and you had to bring and make an offering for talking about your mama. You stole something from somebody. You knew you did. What'd you have to do? You had to pay the penalty of the law, and then you had to come to the temple, and you had to make a sacrifice. no matter what you did wrong. If you did something wrong, you were required to come bring something to make a sacrifice, and you had to be an animal, and you had to present it. And the bigger your sin, the bigger the animal. So if I saw one of y'all carrying an ox on a rope, I ain't even gonna ask no questions. But it was so common that, like we all know, we all carry sin. We all have fallen short of the glory of God in one way or another. And so in the temple, when people are trading and the priests are selling sacrifices to the people, because you know what the nature of man is? We're going to take advantage of an opportunity. That's human nature. When people see an opportunity, we're going to make a business out of it. So the priests had made a business out of selling the offerings to the people for them to bring their sacrifices. So when Jesus walks inside the temple and sees how people have totally misunderstood, he comes in and turns over the tables. Money flying everywhere. And you know what? Nobody touched him. I want you to think about this. Go down to the farmer's market. And all these people got their money and behind their tables, right? And I want you to think about, today, I'm going to be Jesus in the temple. And you just walk down the street and start turning over tables and say, not in my Father's house. And see what happens. But Jesus did it. He walked in the temple, turned over all their money. Money flying everywhere, animals running everywhere, chaos in the temple. Jesus starts it. And he said, you guys have turned my Father's house into a house of thieves. But my Father's house ought to be a house of prayer. In other words, when you come to the temple of God, it should be an opportunity for prayer and for worship. It shouldn't be somewhere where you're being taken advantage of or manipulated. The people should not be in this position where they are feeling ostracized or cast out or feeling like if I didn't have 10 coins to buy my sacrifice, I can't even come in. I got to stay out and be a sinner. There's some people who won't come to church because they don't have the right clothes. They think the price tag for coming into the church is being dressed right. There's some people who won't come to church because they don't have an offering. Because they think, you know what, in the past, the plate is passed, somebody's looking at me. There's some people who won't come into the house of the Lord because they have been trained that Pharisees or Sadducees are at the door and are going to find a way to exclude them rather than bring them in, because the house of God has become something other than what it's supposed to be. There are people who will avoid the church because they're afraid that there's no forgiveness for their behavior. And so they've stayed outside the church and they have glorified their behavior because they couldn't fit inside the church. And so then you have people who are proud of what we should be called into repentance for. But they've had to do that because they couldn't come in. So this song, you move mountains, you cause walls to fall. With your power, you work miracles. And there's nothing that is impossible, because we're standing here all because you made a way. See, we should be people who understand it's not you, it's God in you. It's not you, it's God in you. Now, the writer of that song said, God moves mountains. But that's not what the word says. So if we talked about what happened with Jesus then with his disciples is walking, And they've witnessed these marvelous things. They've witnessed how bold Jesus is. They've witnessed him turn over tables, and they've witnessed him stand in front of Pharisees and tell them whatever he needed to say. They witnessed all that. And even with all of that, they marvel by the fact that Jesus walks past the fig tree and speaks to the fig tree, and the fig tree dies. They have seen him working miracle after miracle. They've seen the people come and worship a man who's not even a rabbi. They just went to the temple and saw him turn over tables and saw the Pharisees not even be able to respond. But as they're on the way back, after Jesus has cursed the fig tree on the way, when they come back, they see the tree leaning over, and Peter says, "Master, that tree you spoke to, it actually died." See, the unbelief of us, of humanity, is so deep that we don't even realize how deep our unbelief is. Because our minds have to be renewed. Your mind has to be renewed. And if your mind is not renewed, you will see miracles and you exclude yourself from being part of those miracles. See, Peter is one who would just speak his mind. And he said what everybody else wanted to say. Everybody else looked at that tree and said, "Oh my God, that tree actually went down. He spoke to a tree and that tree actually died. I can't believe this." Peter said, "Master," he just said it. "Master, that tree you spoke to yesterday, it's dead." And in Mark chapter 11, we're going to begin at verse 20. "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look! The fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered," look, he didn't ask a question. He announced to Jesus, "Master, that fig tree you spoke to, it actually died. It withered up." But it says Jesus answered him. Why is Jesus answering if he didn't ask a question? Because his statement revealed he had a question. See, I don't have to listen to people ask a question to understand what the question is in their heart. So sometimes people make statements, but it reveals a question. Sometimes people say things and it reveals that there's a question in their heart as to whether or not certain things are true or not true, whether the word is true or not true, whether God is really going to come through as he spoke, whether things are going to happen the way I planned. Is my expectation going to be met? But God is a God who does exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. The problem is sometimes we're thinking the wrong thing. See, there's a season where I wanted certain things from God, and I wanted them so bad, and I just prayed, and I cried, and I'm on my knees, and rubbing. I'm trying to pray. Bring it down. I'm trying to call it down. I'm trying to bring it, because I got faith. And then I realize I'm asking the wrong question. When I first gave my life to the Lord, I said, "Lord, I need a wife." And so I prayed for a wife. And then God showed me my wife. And I met my wife, and I knew it was my wife. And very quickly in the relationship, I said, "Will you marry me?" They can't handle how quick. I'm going to leave that alone. I knew it was my wife. I said, "Will you marry me?" And we got married. Now, I know what I prayed for. I got my list. Dot, 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 dot. Met every box. Check, 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 check. But then 6 months into the marriage, one day, we have a friction. She's my words wisely. I have to go home. I'm just teasing. My wife's sweet. But we have a friction 6 months into the marriage. And the friction is so tight, I grab my little duffel bag. And I start stuffing all my clothes in it. Right? I'm out of here. Because I'm done. So what? I check all them checks on the checkbox. So what? Today, I'm done. I said, I'm out. This is it. Forget it. And the Holy Spirit stopped me. And 29 years later, we're still married. So what happened between the five checkboxes and you, the one I saw as soon as I saw you, to putting my stuff in my bag, ready to go? My human expectation was based on certain things I've been taught. And then when the friction started, I assumed there was something wrong, rather than accept the fact I was the one being challenged. See, Peter's walking along, and he sees all the work Jesus is doing, but then when he sees something out of the ordinary, he can't believe it's actually God doing it, because it was past his thought process, past his imagination. He's not imagining. He's looking for a king to rule over a nation. He's not looking for a man who has such power in his words he can cause seemingly inanimate objects to obey him. He's looking for a king. He's not looking for somebody who can transform matter. He's looking for king. I was looking for a wife. I wasn't looking for somebody who was going to actually grow me up and make me a man by challenging my behaviors. See, sometimes we're not looking for the right things. See, we're asking God for things, and when God blesses us, then we have to be prepared to deal with the blessing. And blessings, when they come, make you. They bless you. They cause you to be a blessing. But sometimes you don't realize that in order to become the blessing, you've got to get just like what happened to the floor. You don't realize that in order to become a blessing, you might have to get sanded down so that you're unrecognizable. I've worn facial hair the majority of my life, of my adult life anyway. And it's always funny to me, I can count the times I probably shaved everything off my face. But it's always amazing to me that if I shave off my beard, people look at my face and go, when did you grow that mustache? Where did that mustache come from? I've never realized you had a mustache. When did you grow it? It's been there a long time. Because you become... Certain things change, and people don't understand what the change was. So God's working in your spirit. He's doing things, and people all of a sudden notice when God strips something off of you or shaves something off of you, all of a sudden you have a new identity to people, and they don't realize what happened. Tell your neighbor, say, God is shaving you. Praise the Lord. All right. Verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them. Very important. Peter asked the question, but Jesus answered all of them. Why? Because Peter wanted to spoke, but everybody had the same question. I want you to look at this. Of all the things that he could say, look very closely. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. You don't have to trust your circumstances. You don't have to trust the people around you. You don't have to trust what's going on overseas. You don't have to trust your president. You don't have to trust your governor or your elected officials. You don't have to trust your mama or your daddy. You don't have to trust nobody. Have faith in God. The majority of our disappointment with other people is because our expectation does not line up with the reality of what we experience. But the question is, where did the expectation come from? You are where you are because God made the way. See, in the middle of recognizing where you are, you need to recognize your faith cannot be in anything or anyone besides God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God, period. Have faith in God. It's not your job. It's not the people. It's not everybody else. It is have faith in God. Have faith in God. Because ultimately our question is, why are things the way they are? Why are things happening? Toya said it. Why is this happening to me? Why am I dealing with this? Because you're standing where you are, all because God has made the way. Now, what I can tell you is this, what I know about Toya. She shared your testimony with you. Toya can deal with things most of you probably why? Because of what she's moved through and what she's able to encourage others as a result of. What is she able to encourage others? What is she able to build others? Now, she's not excluded because you got things that you can look back and recognize you've experienced that you'd be able to bless her with. Because God individually has you on your own course and you're standing where you are and you've been where you've been in order for God to bring you and line a level of experience behind you that you can always know, man, this is my testimony. But many of us don't think we have a testimony. Many of us don't necessarily think of ourselves as having a story because we're thinking about other people's stories and hearing other people's stories and thinking about how they've experienced or what they've done. And we don't necessarily register with the fact that you have a unique individual story that is powerful to minister to other people who have the same types of issues or challenges. See, if somebody comes up and gives a story and it doesn't register with you, you don't get excited about it. But when you hear something that has crossed your path or has crossed where you've been, then all of a sudden you get emotional and you feel it. Why? Because it's connected to you. See, these disciples, they were walking along with Jesus, they left everything to follow Jesus. They left everything to follow Jesus. And having left everything to follow Jesus, they're having experiences with Jesus that they have no clue as to why. They just know that they are. But the reason that they're following Jesus is because they heard something in his words that spoke to where they were, and they were willing to leave what they were doing and go do what God has called them to do. Verse 23, assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Read it again. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will what? You will have them. Here's the problem. You will have whatever you say. Sometimes we don't know what to say. We will have whatever we say, but sometimes we don't know what to say. Go to Psalms 103. We read Psalm 103 last week. Psalm 103, verse 1 begins with, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Whoever shall say in his heart, believe, he shall have whatever he says. So the word tells us that we're to bless the Lord, O our soul, with everything that's within us, bless his holy name, and forget not all his benefits. What does bless the Lord mean? Speak well of the Lord, amen? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless the Lord, bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord, speak well of the Lord. If you speak anything and believe it in your heart, you will have whatever you say. So God says, listen, start with my word. Start with my word. Speak my word so that my word can come out of your mouth and my word can produce my will for your life. So that you don't have to keep trying to manipulate the way. If the word is what leads you and what guides you, you will be wherever God wants you to be. And every place you are, you will be able to do whatever God says you can do. The only way to move a mountain is for God to equip you with the power to do it. Amen. But God can't equip you with the power to do something where you ain't where God told you to be. Excuse me. Five benefits. Benefit one is forgiveness. Benefit two is healing. Benefit three is redemption. Benefit four is favor. Benefit five is satisfaction. Forgiveness, healing, redemption, favor, and satisfaction. So my question is, can you believe this word? Go to verse 20. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. We're singing that song. You have to acknowledge the fact that God makes ways, but it's up to us to walk the way out. God carves paths for our feet, but it's our responsibility to walk in the path that God gives us. It is our responsibility to walk where God says to walk. It's our responsibility to employ God's word so that when we are speaking his word and who he is, we experience what God says he is. Now, I'm extremely moved by Toya's testimony because I currently have one sister, but I had another. And that sister was born and had a series of challenges immediately after birth. And I remember as a child, my mother praying for this daughter because my mom always wanted a girl. And I remember my mother praying for this daughter, and the daughter died. And the doctors told us this and that and this and that would have been her life, so dot, dot, dot. So Toy is the woman who had the child that lived. And some people would say, well, your child has special needs. Wouldn't it have been better? No, it wouldn't have been better. It wouldn't have been better. You know why? Because she's where God wants her to be. My mother lost the child. But in faith, my mother obtained over 100 daughters. See, it doesn't make a difference what happens in your life. It makes a difference how you respond. See, faith is the substance of things you hope for, the evidence of things you can't see. But if your faith is based on your own expectations and your own imaginations, it will let you down. Because sometimes, as we said, the human being is made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. And sometimes your soul, which houses your will and your emotions and your imagination, sometimes your imagination will create expectations that are not the expectations God has for you. Sometimes your mind has drawn pictures and painted a thing that you believe is paradise, but then when you enter paradise, you're ready to pack your bag and leave. I got my mind painted. So I was an unbeliever, and I said, I'm not getting married until I'm 50 years old. I'm going to live my life. And then I got saved, and I came. I said, okay, Lord, what do I do now? And I read a passage that says, he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. I said, Lord, I need a wife. I never thought about what was going to happen when I got one. I just knew I need. I said, the word says, if I find a wife, I find a good thing. I obtain the favor of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for my favor. Show me this wife of mine. So I met her. I went down my checkbox. Man, she's got everything I asked for. But my mind has painted a picture that has nothing to do with God's word, has nothing to do with any good logic. It has all to do with me and what I think and what I want. And then I've got the blessing. Praise the Lord. I've got my wife of favor. Hallelujah. 6 months later, pack the bag. But the Bible says here, we should bless the Lord, O our soul, and forget not his benefits. God has already got your best in mind. God already has in mind for you. The book of Jeremiah says, God said, I know the plans I have for you. I have plans for your life. I have plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I already know what I have for you. I have things aligned already. And even if you think you're off course, you're not. Because you'll be standing wherever I make a way for you to stand. Because I make the way. God is the one who makes the way. God is the one who orders your steps. The Bible says the righteous, the steps of the righteous, they are ordered of the Lord. And when you're righteous, your steps have been ordered. And you're not righteous because of your behavior. You're righteous because of faith. By faith, I'm standing where I'm supposed to be standing. By faith, tomorrow, I'm going to be standing where I'm supposed to be standing. By faith, 10 years from now, I'm going to be standing where I'm supposed to be standing. By faith, I'm going to be wherever I need to be. And I'm going to have faith in God and nothing else. So this whole message that we looked at in the book of Mark is about understanding that your expectations don't change God's path for you. The disciples, after Jesus died, were sitting around not knowing what to do. And so they said, let's go fishing. And there were several of them that had been fishermen. So that's what they did. They went over to the lake. They sat down. They went out. They were fishing. And while they're on the boat, they look up and they see Jesus on the shore. And Peter jumps off the boat and swims in to see Jesus. And when they all get around, they see him, but they won't say anything to him because they can't believe it. There he is. And Jesus started cooking fish. I love Jesus, man. I love him. They had an expectation he was going to be the king, and when he died, their expectation went to the tank. And they didn't know what to do after that because they believed certain things were going to happen, and because the things didn't happen the way they wanted them to happen, they all then were down. And then they got excited when they saw Jesus. But then he had to come and give them correction. He said, Peter, feed my sheep. And Peter starts talking, and then, no, feed my lambs. And he keeps on talking, and then Peter notices that John is standing next to him, and he says, what about this guy? He said, was it to you? What's it to you what he's going to do? You feed my sheep. But wait a minute, I thought we were all going to be ruling with you. They believe that so much that James and John, their mother, comes to Jesus and said, Jesus, when you enter your kingdom, let one of my sons sit on your left and one sit on the right hand of your throne. And he said, it's not like that. Their expectations were one thing, but God was taking them somewhere else. See, if they had been Jesus' right hand and left hand in a overthrow of the Jewish nation, and they had got exactly what they desired, you wouldn't even know their names today. They would have been some other lieutenants in some general's army. Who was Genghis Khan's left and right man? You have no idea. Who was Alexander the Great's left and right hand man? You have no idea. Who's the right and left hand man of the president? I don't know right now. But we know them because God made the way. That wasn't based on their expectations, but was based on God's plan for them. God's plan is what endures. God's plan is what does not fail. God's plan is what never ceases. God's plan is what takes you to God's expected end for your life. And if we can operate in faith, basing our life on what the Word says, then the Word will take us every place God wants us to go. I read in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to close with this. I read in Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. And I started reading through the armor of God, and something caught my attention, and I hadn't been able to shake it for years. And it says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I said, why is the gospel on my feet? Why am I supposed to have this preparation of the gospel of peace on my feet? I understand the breastplate of righteousness. I understand the helmet of salvation. But why is the gospel on my feet? It's because God will take you through his gospel wherever you have to go. If you trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, allow yourself to be guided by God's word. His word will take you wherever you need to go. Wherever you need to go. Tell your neighbor, I'm basing my expectation on the word. Psalms 103. I am closing, believe it or not. Psalm 103, verse 20. The beginning, we were told to bless the Lord, our soul. The soul is the part of you that thinks and reasons. It's the part of you that causes you to think and understand. It's the part of you that you make decisions with. Your soul is that part of you. So you're supposed to bless the Lord so that your decisions and everything you do is based on what God says. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and everything that's within me, I want to bless the Lord. But verse 20 says, bless the Lord, you his angels. Some translation says you his ministers. The administers or the administration, those that are called to apply the word of God, those that are called to apply what God says. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who what? Excel in strength. Tell your neighbor, say, I excel in strength. Who do his word. Heeding the voice of his word. Let me tell you what's going to happen. The world is going to continue to get darker and darker. Because humanity is what it is. It's going to continue to get darker and darker. But we don't have faith in the world. Jesus had to tell, Paul had to say, you need to be of good cheer. For you've overcome the world. See, no matter how dark the world gets, the church has the power to overcome the world. But the church can't overcome the world until we first settle the issue of having faith in God and knowing that whatever we speak with our mouths, God will back it up. So that if we say this mountain, you got to move, that it will move. But have our expectation that it moves according to God's will and not your will. Because the reason we don't speak the word is because we're wondering whether or not the word is going to work. Well, the word always works. The problem is our expectation is sometimes not where it's supposed to be. And we're trying to make things move that God is not trying to move. But what God says is going to move, is going to move. See, we want to have the right president and the right senators. We want the right judges. We want to have all this so we can have a quiet and peaceable life, which the word says you should be praying for them that. But the word does not say you get to pick who they are. They didn't vote in the Bible. Listen to this. In the Bible, when the disciples picked another disciple after Judas fell, when they picked another person, they didn't vote. They said, we're going to draw lots. And whoever's name comes up, that's the one. No more questions. No, it ain't no opinions, ain't no thoughts. It's we're going to trust God. And we're going to draw these lots, and whoever's name comes up, that's who God called. Why am I telling you this? What I want you to be able to walk away from this whole thing with is this. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. No idea. But I know this. No matter what happens, you got to be ready to trust God. No matter what happens, you got to be ready to not second guess where you stand. No matter what happens, you got to be ready to not second guess why you are where you are. You want to use wisdom in whatever circumstance you are in. However, you don't want to question where you are. You want to know and be confident that God has led you to where you're supposed to be. And when you're there, you are equipped to move any mountain that needs to be moved or move anything that needs to be dealt with. Whatever it is in your path or in your way, you need to be confident and bold that God has already seen you and God has placed you where you're supposed to be. Now, I don't know why. But the reality is, for some reason, God said, and I want to get off of it, but I feel really compelled to say this. No matter what happens, you don't turn from trusting God. No matter what happens, you don't turn from trusting God. No matter what. You don't second guess it. You don't try to change it. You try to recognize God put me somewhere and I'm moving with what God said. Let's stand to our feet, please. Two things we're going to do very briefly. First of all, we're going to pray together, and we're going to receive offering, and then we will love on each other and adjourn for the day.